So today we're talking about service and we're celebrating our volunteers. And I know there are many of you who volunteer in various ways and have through the years here. So if you'd be willing to acknowledge yourself by standing and let us give you a nice round of applause. Wow. So I see some people not standing who volunteer, so pretty much all of us stood, at least on the inside. And, you know, even if you haven't, you know, in a very deliberate way been a part of a ministry team or some way of volunteering here, your presence is a gift. Your presence is an act of service. You showing up here and being a part of this community gifts all of us with something of value. So we, you know, it's like when people say they're artists and or they're not creative unless they're, you know, fall into the arts. It's like, well, yeah, but we're all creative, right? And we're all, by the very act of having been born and embodied, giving and receiving, or in that flow frequently. Oh, yeah, that's right. We are. I like the affirmations. Pretty similar. Teach them to say amen. Raise a hand. So, you know, what is it about service that makes us hum? And I don't necessarily mean literally, although if you know Jeff Cushing, you know he whistles while he works. And Jeff has been serving here for a very long time, whether he's making the children's snacks or coffee for all of us on a Sunday morning, or he's fixing a leaky pipe or something else that's broken here, he whistles. And it just always fills my heart to see him in this blissful kind of space. So you may not actually make sound and whistle or hum, but I think when we serve, ideally when we're in sacred service, there is a kind of humming going on. You know, it's like the body is humming. The movement is sort of a hum. There's a kind of everything is coming together in this flow that feels satisfying. And so that's what I'm calling the hum. So can you relate to that? Do you feel that when you are in that flow of service, you're contributing to somebody or to a group of people or beside a group of people working together, or you're just making somebody's day brighter in some way? They tell you that, or you can see it, or you can feel that connection, and you feel like, wow, I really contributed something of value today. Whether it was a smile or a handshake, or a hug, or a word of kindness, or something you spent all day doing that was of service to another or to a group of people. Whatever that may be, it can have that feeling of satisfaction. And there's a lot of reasons why, because it's really kind of built into our DNA. Marshall Rosenberg, the founder of nonviolent communication, we sometimes call compassionate communication. I can't help but comment on how I have so much space today, I should use it. Suddenly want to dance up here. So anyway, we'll roll the piano up next time, Carrie, and stop my outbursts. So anyway, where were we? What were we talking about? Oh, it was Marshall Rosenberg talking about this idea that he says that, you know, it's wired into us as human beings, this impetus to give. It's our natural impulse to want to give, to contribute, to bring something to one another. There's actually some psychological research that backs this up, that children are naturally altruistic. And then if the people in their lives notice and praise it and encourage it, they grow into being more altruistic, giving, serving people. If nobody really notices, then they tend to go more the self-serving route. Is that interesting? So, and it makes sense, right? Because we get that feedback that says, that's right, that is a natural thing for you to be doing, and it increases, that which we bless increases. So so this idea that Marshall talks about it being innate, Gary Chapman in the Love Languages names acts of service as one of the key ways that we love. It's how we speak our love through our actions of kindness, of giving, of service, of contributing in some way, somehow. So that's why I think it makes us hum, because it's love in action, right? It's love moving through us. And how many of you know that to give, really, you experience receiving in the giving? Yeah, everybody's like, most of you are nodding, yeah. You know how that is. It's like to receive is to give to another. So if you're not such a great receiver, you know, work on that end. Because you want the other person to have that good feeling that you have when you give to them. And this acts of service being one of the love languages, the idea is to be fluent in all five. We tend to be more fluent in one or another. But if you really receive and give love through your acts of service, then you really, really understand the significance of this. And if this is just a language you're starting to speak a little bit more, I'm going to encourage you to dive in further, because we can actually spiritually grow through service. There are so many benefits, but one of them is our actual spiritual growth, our getting to know more of our truest selves through our giving. So lots of reasons why it has this satisfying undercurrent. Now, how we give is really important, right? As with any of our spiritual teachings, it's always about the consciousness with which we do the thing we're doing. And so if we give out of a sense of, well, it's the right thing to do, or it's the thing I'm supposed to do, or it's the moral thing to do, or the whatever, you know, all the words we tell, the shoulds that we do for ourselves, then it doesn't generally have the same kind of joyful vibration. It does may not make you hum so much, right? Because if we give out of that sort of lack space, that lack consciousness, and it might be the way that we give to somebody thinking that somehow they are, rather than temporarily in a space of need, that they're needy or that they're somehow less than, and you know, we're going to swoop in and save the day, we kind of create that sort of dichotomy of inequality in our consciousness, it doesn't feel as good to give. But if instead we work that second principle of the divine I am as not just I am divine, but those with whom I am contributing to are divine, that my giving is a giving from one divine heart to another, from one soul to another, and seeing the dignity of each of us, and raising up the dignity of each of us, recognizing in the oneness that Carrie just sang about, that in any moment we could be the person who has a need, and another, that same person or another person could be giving to us, and we don't want to be seen in that way, as in this kind of permanent state of a lesser worthiness in a way. So it's all about giving from that place of we are one, we are in this together, we are spiritual beings, we are all grounded in that divine I am sense of who we are in truth. And we're giving to that truth. And we're receiving from that truth. Drinking from that water of the divine is love in action. Love in action is a term that we've used here in the past for actually raising funds. It's a lot of ministries use it as their term for sacred service, that they call it love in action for a reason, because that is exactly what it is when we are in that kind of space. Piero Ferrucci, who's a psychologist and author, says, true service affirms the fundamental value of others and oneself. And that's the other side of that consciousness, is sometimes we can be giving not so much out of an abundance consciousness, but a lack consciousness about ourselves as well. And how that usually shows up is that maybe we've tied up our service with our worthiness, and we give, right? To the point where it's no fun, it's exhausting, it's stressful, it's overwhelming. You name it, right? Anybody ever been on that end of giving? Yeah. It's something has to give, right? And it's not you anymore. It's you shifting and giving to yourself and refueling in some kind of way. So when we are in that kind of space, what do we need to do? We know what to do, right? To recenter, to go back to the well, to fill ourselves back up with spirit, to maybe just rest our bodies and reassess, how am I giving? What am I doing? And why am I doing it? What is this driver behind it? And could I instead shift into the abundance consciousness, the abundance of love, and drink from that abundant well, and then give out of that surplus of love? To be in that flow is fulfilling. So it's important for us to stay grounded in ourselves when we are in the company of others and we are giving to others, to keep that mooring of energy within ourselves, to not give up our personal physical energy. But as we're more grounded there in ourselves and also in the spiritual energy, it's easier for us to be in that kind of flow. So one of the ways I have, an exercise I've enjoyed over the years, and I'm going to share it with you as a way to re-energize, a way to explore energy. And really today I'm looking at it as the various ways that energy is used and moves through us when we are in service. So if you'd like, it's pretty crowded in here, so it's going to be interesting, but I'm going to go ahead and give it a whirl. This is a Tai Chi exercise from Brenly and my friend Mary Cruz, who's a teacher in Columbia, Missouri. And it's something that is designed to, I mean, literally it's a nice thing to do to face the sun in the morning and begin your day with this, ideally at sunrise, but you could do it at any time, anywhere. So I want to invite you, if you'd like to participate, you want about this much room. So if you could spread out a little bit, maybe you could turn a little bit to the side. If you don't want to participate, you can just sit and enjoy the energy in the room. And there's lots of room, like up here in the aisles in the back. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, along the ramp. Okay. Anybody need anything? We okay? Okay. All right. Well, the first time through, we'll just do the motions, and then I'll tell you the words that go along with them. So you want to stand just about shoulder width apart, your feet about shoulder width apart. And then we're just going to raise our hands like this, as if they're being raised by the wrists. Almost effortless. And then we'll put them straight out and bring them back. Then you're going to be palms out and push the energy out. Then palms facing each other, and we're going to come out all the way to the sides. And then palms up. We're going to go all the way up. Palms facing out again, all the way down. Already feels good, doesn't it? Yes. Then palms facing forward, and this is the gathering of the energy. Coming into your heart. We're going to go down, compressing the energy. And then storing the energy. And if you want, you can bring your feet more together there. And then finally, we put our hands back out, palms forward, and we give the energy to the world. So now I'll give you all the words that go with it. You ready to do this again? All right. The sun is beginning to rise. The first rays can be seen on the horizon. Push open the temple gates. Open them wider for a better view. Raise the energy. Let the energy cascade down upon you. Gather the energy. Compress the energy. Store the energy. And if you wish, always optional, give some of that energy back into the world. The surplus energy. Yeah, let's do it one more time all together. Okay. The sun is beginning to rise. You can say the words if you want. The first rays are seen on the horizon. Push open the temple gates. Open them wider for a better view. Raise the energy. Let the energy cascade down upon you. Gather the energy. Compress the energy. Store the energy. There's more surplus energy, and we give it to the world. Good job, everyone. Yeah. So if you think about the different aspects of what we just did, this is really the body in motion in service, isn't it? And a way to, for us to trust our own bodies and our own spirits, that there are times when we need to be gathering up that energy, compressing it, storing it, and other times when we're all about expanding it out and giving it to the world. And so allowing ourselves to, well, it feels good in here. Woo, can you feel that? Feels really good. We should do this more often. It's very much like, you know, we get into the, when we move energy like that, even taking a moment to move energy like that, to recognize we are always in the flow of spiritual energy. It's always moving through us. And so when we are giving, when we are sharing, when we are receiving, when we are in exchange with one another, we are in this kind of energetic dance. And this is really what we're doing. So paying attention to the energy is what helps us not go into those places of lack consciousness, but to recognize, ah, my body is starting to feel tired. I must be giving from that stored pool of energy, and I haven't renewed it lately. But when I just take a few moments to renew it, now I'm regrouped, I'm re-energized, and I'm able to be that divine I am in the world. I'm able to come back into my co-creative spirit and be a part of contributing and receiving. So it's that flow, paying attention to that flow, that is really key. It's what, you know, we get into that flow, it's woo-woo-way. No, that's not it. Wei Wu Wei, that's it. Wei Wu Wei, you've heard about that before. It's Zhuang Zi's idea of doing without doing, doing without doing. So when we are doing, it's this work. It's coming from that full fountain of spirit's energy that is our true self, our true energy source. When I worked at Silent Unity, we had an affirmation on every prayer associate's desk. I bet it's still there. To remind us of what we were doing. And it says, it is not I, but the Christ within that does the work. To be reminded again and again that there is a bigger pool of energy. There is an expanse of love that we spring forth from. That's what allowed Charles Fillmore, a co-founder at the age of 94, to say, I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm and spring forth to do the things that ought be done by me. And I'm sure he did it with like a little spring in his step, you know, because, you know, and so what was that? All those years of sitting in silence, all that time of serving and being on purpose was something that filled his spirit. So for each of us, it's important to know what is it that lights me up and to do more of that because the world needs that, right? Howard Thurman, what we need is people who have come alive. So do what makes you come alive. Or do what, you know, Marianne Williamson back in the 90s, I heard her speak about people that when they're in depressed states, the best thing they could do, the best antidote would be to take action towards something that breaks their heart, toward the contribution of the resolution of whatever that issue is. That's a great question for any of us, depressed or not, right? To ask, what breaks your heart? When you look around the world, what breaks your heart? And how could you then begin to contribute in a way to resolving that heartache for yourself and for those who might be a part of it in a direct way. Or you can ask yourself, you know, where am I spiritually fed? Everybody who stood up in this room at the beginning of this message to say, I volunteer at Unity, I'm guessing volunteers at Unity because you are spiritually fed here. And so if this is a place where you're receiving something valuable in your life that helps you spiritually grow, you naturally want to give back to that place. So that is another way that we can ask ourselves if we're seeking, like, what is really mine to do next? Or how do I want to serve or direct my energies? Or maybe I want to stop doing something that's not feeding me and I want to start doing something different that will allow me to grow in a new way. You could ask, who inspires me? Or what inspires me? What kind of organization in the world inspires you, or maybe a founder or a leader who has an idea or is doing something, what inspires you in that way? As I begin to think about some of the people who have inspired me in my lifetime, it just brought me right back to Jane Addams. Anybody know Jane Addams? She was a pioneer, and she was a real heroine in my hometown of Chicago, where she had a settlement house called the Hull House. And I was just learning about her. I had started grad school, and I was studying education, and I decided to do a paper on her. And I was so serious about this. I was like, whoa, I'm in grad school now. They're going to expect a lot more. So like literally 12 hours a day, I was working on this paper. I was so enthralled and so inspired with her and so driven in a way that I was learning all this stuff. And I was sitting at an unsupportive director's chair working on a word processor. Remember those? The screen about this big. And who knew? We didn't know so much about ergonomics, and technology wasn't all that advanced at the time. So I thought it was really cutting edge. I had my brother word processor going. But I was learning about her and inspired by her because of the many ways that she was contributing to the city of Chicago in a time of need, which is always a time. But also in the very unique way in which she was working. She was the first American woman to win the Nobel Peace Prize. And one of the things about Jane Addams' philosophy of peace was that it was intricate and it was woven in a way, I mean, clearly way beyond the very simplified definition of the absence of war. This was a kind of peace that is dedicated to building a society that is in harmony and in cooperation and full of justice and so on and so forth. But the way that she did it, and what some people now, as they reflect on her work, call her philosophy of peace, is peace weaving. And it's based on the idea that weaving denotes connectivity, and that what Jane Addams was doing was bringing people together that would have never otherwise met. In the heart of the city of Chicago, there were poor immigrants in not such great working conditions, not getting the education they needed, and you know, so on and so forth in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And so she was bringing college-educated people together that had a bit more means with these folks who didn't have as much education and didn't have as much wealth, and they were together, like they formed this community center, and they were together working, creating, making art, having fun together, solving problems, addressing working conditions, addressing educational issues. And so it was a brilliant idea of how we could weave together, always keeping in mind people who are most vulnerable at a given time, whose needs need to be met. So this made me start to think about what can we do at Unity to become peace weavers? I don't have any answers to this. I just have a bunch of questions, by the way. But I like the idea of being a peace weaver. I want to be a peace weaver. And I'm not sure how to go about it. But I think as a community, for those of us who might be interested in that, we could begin to weave a little more peace. We could begin to expand out our service, our sacred service. We have so much competency and capability and talent and inspiration and so much to give in this room. collectively, all of us. And so what is it? What are some ways that we could tap that inspiration, that idea, that and begin to expand ourselves and become ourselves Unity of Walnut Creek, Peace Weavers? So one way is to begin to think about the people that we know that might not otherwise come here, and maybe we invite them to something. Or maybe we figure out a way to get out into the community to something where we go and have some fun or make some new friends. The Interfaith Council is certainly one of the key ways we're doing that, and we have been hosting more interfaith activities here and getting more involved in that, and we get to meet different people that way. And come into these ideas. It's a great, interfaith is often a way that issues are addressed in society, because we can be the voice of spirituality and religion that says, oh no, that's not working for people. And we need to address that. We need to improve that together. So who's out there who's seeking a positive path for spiritual living, I wonder? Who doesn't know we're here? A lot of people. Who said that? Nancy. Yeah, it's true. And who needs to know that they were born of original blessing rather than original sin? Who wouldn't like to know that they are worthy from the get-go, right? Worthy of love, worthy of joy, worthy of service, worthy of giving, worthy of receiving. Who wouldn't like to know that they can heal and prosper through the power of their faith? All of us want to grow, I think, all of us in this room anyway, I guess I can't speak for everybody, I want to grow in these teachings further, but how much can we grow in the same container, and how much more could we grow if we were peace weaving? So again, I'm not really sure how this looks, but maybe there's some partnering organizations out there that would want to work with us in just expanding ourselves a little bit more. Because as we expand our community, we expand ourselves. And to me, the thing that really lights me up about service is, I mean, there's a lot of things about it, the feel good, the everything that we've talked about, the flow, the love and action, the joy that is raised up, the sense of purpose and contribution. But the idea that we spiritually grow by serving, that by giving, that we actually come to know ourselves in a whole new way. We explore these spiritual qualities that run through all religions, compassion and kindness and love, and we get to see our own capacities and our own abilities to manage energy and to grow ourselves in new ways because we are exposed to new ideas and new people and new ways of thinking and being. I mean, if we could partner with an organization, we could say, we'll be the folks who do what we do best, you know, and we'll help build spiritual consciousness while this other organization does whatever they do, and we begin to find one another and work together. I don't know what any of this is going to look like or if it's going anywhere, but I'm just inviting us all into the conversation, into the inquiry, to begin to ponder and see what is it that is ours to do. There's a world of people out there that are hungry for what we have to offer. How can we reach them in new ways? We have to think outside the box in order to open up the doors, so to speak, of our own beings, of our own hearts, of our own temples, as we did earlier, right? So that's what we were doing, is pushing open the temple gates of the body, opening up the body to receive, to give, to be in the flow. And so I'm talking about the body of us as a congregation, the body of unity, the body of unity of Walnut Creek in particular. What is ours to do? I don't know yet. But I bet collectively we do. It's in the field. The best way to find yourself, Mahatma Gandhi said, is to lose yourself in the service to others. And that's what we're doing. We're finding ourselves. We're reinventing ourselves. We're growing ourselves. We're exploring ourselves. We're moving in the energy of ourselves in sacred service. And it builds a kind of consciousness. It brings a kind of love. It bubbles up a kind of joy. And then it grows us. It expands our consciousness. It expands our understanding. It allows us to become more of that true, innate, divine being that we have come here to be. So whatever it is that you are stretching into, whatever it is that you want to become more of or explore more of, wherever your edges right now are on your spiritual walk, consider how service might be that thing that you are stepping into in a new way so that you can know yourself, express yourself, experience yourself in this. Sometimes we don't know until we act, until we step in, and then we realize, oh, wow, all these things are available to me by doing this form of giving, whatever it may be. It's Unity's fifth principle. I keep referring to the wall, and I realize new people are probably like, why does she keep pointing at the wall? Those are our five Unity principles in art form, and I keep pointing to the second one, the divine I am, that divine essence of us. But all of them are at work, really, in what we're talking about as service. It's number five, live the principles. It's the action piece. It's the piece that says, I'm going to embody all this. I'm going to bring in the allness of spirit. I'm going to tap into that allness of spirit, that energy of spirit that we moved earlier in. I'm going to remember that I've come here as a divine being, that I'm a co-creator with life, with spirit, that I'm co-creating through the power of my thoughts and the power of my feelings. And I'm, again, coming back to prayer and meditation as my anchor. And then I'm living it. I'm sharing it, giving it out. And that is what this is all about, is that embodiment of all of it. Giving from that divine essence, co-creating the kind of world and neighborhood and family and community we want to live in. Finding ourselves. We're finding ourselves, as Gandhi says, by being in service to others. So I can't think of anything that could be more joyful than the fact that we can actually know ourselves more fully by simply contributing to others' well-being. And so I want to invite us to really step into that in a new way this week and days and months and years beyond, to see what is here for us as we really sink into the idea of sacred service. And so I invite us to speak this affirmation together as we do so. Together, I expand myself and my community through sacred service. So it is. And for those who are watching online who have ever served at Unity or are currently serving at Unity and couldn't be here today, we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we behold the divine light within you.